Well, welcome back, folks. We were just notified by Freddie King's office that he got pulled into a critical meeting. There's a lot going on, a lot happening in city government right now, and he's going to try and break away and join us at some point. He may or may not be able to do so. But what we were going to discuss was this most recent happenstance as it relates to restaurants and bars, their liquor licenses being expired, their notices that are sent out, or emails that are sent out reminding folks of it, and it becomes an issue. There's no follow through, and the next thing that they know, that as the months pass and they haven't renewed, the fines and the fees are stacking up. And that's kind of the issue, right? And I understand what the businesses are saying. Obviously, one side of the argument is, well, you're in business. This is your obligation. You need to stay current on these licenses. You have a state license. You have a local license. You have an occupational license. You pay sales taxes. You pay property taxes if you own the property or otherwise. But as I went through that list and thinking back to when, we used to do this, there's a bunch of different ways in communicating with business owners, right? Whether it be that occupational license that you have to fill out as well. And it may be that you try to align these licenses in many respects that may make more sense. So if you open your bar in August, let's say, we're in the month of August. You open your bar in August. The question is, and you're paying your occupational license taxes in at the end of the year, why not align all of these taxes so that everyone knows that it's that point of the year where you're going to be doing that, as opposed to when you open the business. So you short term the license, or you extend the license beyond a year the first time to get it on the cycle, where you can communicate with business owners in and around the city one time. Property taxes are due, occupational license taxes are due, and you can make it so that your ABO license for the municipal side will be due at that same time. So you know that at the end of December or the beginning of January, that all of these things are going to come due at that point in time. And that way you don't have things falling through the crack, and you're communicating with your taxpayers a lot at that period of time. You're also sending out property tax bills, right? And on those property tax bills, you could put a reminder. It's easily done for ABO outlets that don't forget, your ABO license is due on such and such date, as a reminder on the property tax. Because the reality is, you want to collect the tax, right? And you want these people to maintain their license, because they're generating sales tax dollars for you. You want to remove the hurdles for business and make it as easy as possible to renew these things, so that they don't have to be chasing this around. As easy as possible to pay for them to continue the license. Not difficult. And part of the problem is, a lot of times in government, when you are the regulator and you view yourself as the regulator, I always thought that regulators ought to create a climate and an environment for businesses to succeed. Regulators don't decide whether or not a certain business entity is legal or otherwise. The legislature decides that. If it's a legal business, as the regulator, you are out there, you want to to develop this environment where they can be successful. They're the ones pulling in the tax dollars. These restaurants and bars that have these ABO licenses, having ease of administration for the bartenders to get their licenses done and everything else, because the sooner that they can open, the sooner that they can charge, start selling alcohol, the sooner they can start collecting sales tax dollars. I mean, it makes perfect sense. If you're the recipient, right, and you're getting, for all intents and purposes, this mailbox money that's coming to the government, right, where you're just going to the mailbox and there's a check and you're going to cash it, you want to get that process done with so that you can start getting those checks sooner rather than later. Because you have the need to finance a lot of different services that are going on in the city of New Orleans. And it was always kind of mind-boggling to me why we're not approaching it in this fashion, and why we tend to complicate these issues one way or the other. And every day that's lost is money loss to the city. And that ought to be what's up on banners in all of these offices. If you haven't resolved issues today, we just lost another day of revenue. So that they have an understanding and connecting the dots that without revenue, we can't pay you as city employees. If we don't maximize the collection of revenue as prices go up and, you know, the consumer price index or whatever, so that we start collecting more sales taxes, you're less likely to get a pay raise because there's not money there. So you have a vested interest in processing these applications, making sure that there's a seamless throughput, making sure that the client is happy, the business owner who's applying for these licenses, making sure that you're removing all of the barriers, because without them paying, sooner rather than later, the likelihood of you getting a pay raise is slim and none, and Slim just walked out the door. I'm not sure what it takes to motivate people, but you know, the reality is that somebody in these organizations has to be involved in independent thinking, understanding the entity's interests, and that we have to make sure that we're doing things on behalf of the entity and in its best interests. And it's as simple as these kind of, you know, activities like the issuing of permits and this and that and otherwise. You got to make it easy. It can't be hard. It's the same thing, you know, building permits. And I never understood this. And we have a problem in the city. I think we have a problem in a number of the parishes in the surrounding area. It's not just the city. The sooner you can get a building permit, the sooner all of the disciplines, the construction companies, the plumbers, the electricians, the this, the that, start buying goods and purchasing goods to put into this house. Now, all of these transactions may not be taxable, but having said that, the sooner that we get that on the property tax rolls, right, the sooner they are obligated to pay property tax. Meanwhile, we don't appropriately staff. We can't get this done. We're behind the eight ball. It's taken weeks, if not months, to get a building permit. And the whole thing is all clogged up. And I can promise you, if that collective group of people, if they were making money off of this, this process would not be as cumbersome as it is today. They would recognize the interest that they have in streamlining the process, getting things done, making sure that they made the follow-up calls when they had the information available to them, as opposed to waiting 2 or 3 days, because time is money. And if it was them not making the money until the process is done, guess how fast this gets done, right? They would probably get in their car, drive it to the job site, and hand the damn permit to people. And the only way you get people thinking in this respect is that you've got to be preaching this each and every day. This is the goal of public service. We need to put people into the stream of commerce sooner rather than later, because it's the only way that we can increase our tax collections, grow our economy, be able to pay for the services that we need to pay for, resolve our $70 million deficit. Because with a $70 million deficit, no one could propose a pay raise for a city worker. Wake up. We've got to make this process easier for people, not harder. Because in an indirect way, you're putting money in your pocket if you do this successfully. To establish that culture is a process by which there has to be a constant reminder of what the mission and the vision is of each individual department, what the goals are. There should be milestones set, you know, that we can't have an average of 14 to 21 day delays. The processing has to be get from the point of accepting the application to the point of making a decision has to fall within a reasonable time period. I don't know what it is. They do. And then we judge everybody by whether or not they're able to move this through that process in the allotted amount of time. Plain and simple. Time is money. Everybody knows that. Everybody realizes it. We just got to get people motivated to be thinking out of the box and implement these programs. And the left hand has to know what the right hand's doing, because the irony here is the council actually in the spring passed some rules to make it easier for all of this. And for whatever reason, it doesn't seem like this is quite worked out, and it's almost as if safety and permits has bastardized the process even more. But why would we do that? For what purpose? I mean, you have any number of ways to check these folks, right? Sales tax audits. You're collecting sales tax. Bar audits are the easiest audits in the world to conduct. Everybody that sells them liquor has an obligation under the law when you walk in as a sales tax collector to tell you every bottle of liquor they ever sold this bar or this restaurant for a period of time. You figure out the average pour per bottle, you go do an inventory of their liquor, and you issue an assessment. It may not be exact, but under the law, it could be somewhat arbitrary. And then the burden shifts, and they have to prove that you're wrong and they're right. But what happens as a result of that process is that each other gains a better understanding of the expectations and the business practices and the principles that are going to be applied through the collection of those sales taxes. And I know this is a little off subject, but it's not. Because all of this goes to creating that culture, that landscape, that environment by which everyone understands how the rules are going to be enforced and what the expectations are. And if there's a way for the collectors to make it easier for folks to pony the money up, and we may need to get a little bit more creative about how we notify them or otherwise, and we have so many different avenues that we're communicating with business owners in this city, we need to take advantage of every one of those avenues. Because, again, we don't want to put them out of business. Right? We want them to stay in business. We want them to provide the sustenance to a healthy local economy that's under distress right now. Now more than ever is not the time to be playing silly-ass games with business owners. Right now is when you want to be clicking on all cylinders, making it about as easy as possible to open a business in this city. Running a business is hard. Hell, we lost, I think, restaurants and bars announced last week they're closing. That's not good. It's not good at all. So you got to count your blessings as to the ones that you have now. So it'll be interesting to see, and maybe we'll talk with Freddie King at the beginning of next week. It's Friday here, and I totally understand. I know there's a lot going on there, and a lot of meetings that they're trying to get a lot of things with deadlines and timelines resolved. But we always appreciate Freddie coming on. He's never let us down ever, and he didn't this time either because he communicated with us right away, and we appreciate same. But we'll try and talk about this again in the very near future. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us. Over the last 72 hours, a lot of angst, anxiety, consternation as to what was going to happen. Would we have two competing trash companies on the streets of our city fighting over garbage cans? How is that going to play itself out? And the Louisiana Supreme Court stepped in and stopped it all, thankfully. And here to tell us exactly where we are, because he loves so much to talk trash, is J.P. Morrell, New Orleans City Council member at large and the president of the council. J.P., welcome to the show.
I know. I'm back for trash talk, Noel. So it seems like that's our thing.
Yeah, exactly.
So where do you want to start?
So Supreme Court steps in, and which is kind of what you had predicted. I think I said the same thing. You can't fabricate an emergency in order to get to an end game that you desire.
That's 100% correct. I mean, honestly, and I think it gets lost sometimes in translation because people get kind of overwhelmed with the news, but this entire crisis in the quarter was manufactured by the mayor from the start, because at the end of last year, beginning of this year, we had an emergency contract put into place by the mayor and the council because of pending litigation that Henry Consulting had filed against the city. That should have been the end of it. Everything you've seen since then, the mayor prematurely terminating IV waste, the mayor trying to do this emergency contract for Henry Consulting, it was all unnecessary. There was a case pending, an emergency everyone agreed to, IV waste was picking up the trash, and that's how it should have stayed. Instead, we wasted a tremendous amount of taxpayer dollars over a mayor's fake emergency that required the Louisiana legislature to step in and create a bill just in case the mayor did something this stupid. And not only did she step into it and trigger the bill, but she triggered it in the worst way, where, to your point, we might have had two trash collectors picking up trash at the same time.
Absolutely incredible. But, you know, sometimes there's hope. So the Supreme Court steps in. They grant the injunction on behalf of Danny Conwell and I forgot the other individual's name. Marina Kostopoulos on behalf of them. And in the interim, though, that left a little caveat problem that I think the mayor resolved yesterday. Is that true?
Yeah, so basically, had the French Quarter law kicked in, the default mode that the legislature had created, unfortunately, FQMD only covers the French Quarter. So had the mayor not rescinded the termination, the French Quarter would have had uninterrupted trash pickup, street cleaning, street flushing, but you would have had the 100 block of Canal Street, you know, where Canal Place, where Harris is, that whole area would have had nothing. And so we would have had most of the Area 5 covered, but the downtown development part would have been left to fend for itself. And the mayor finally stepped up and did the right thing. But going back to the Supreme Court decision, what was very telling and I think was kind of buried in the coverage is that Supreme Court decision was pretty scathing for a Supreme Court decision. When they mm-hmm. overruled Judge Cates in the Fourth Circuit, what they highlighted was there were tremendous irregularities and there were significant questions as to whether the emergency or the contract were legal. I highlight that because that was evidence the plaintiffs tried to bring in the case that Judge Cates would not let them enter into the record. They tried to provide public documents showing the mayor and her team had fabricated the dates, and the judge denied them entering it as discovery. And the Supreme Court relied upon that evidence and other evidence, and it just tells you when you have judges that are willfully closing their eyes to things that are shady, that's how this behavior is encouraged. And the Supreme Court stepped in and said, this does not, with the evidence on the record, the judge should have granted the injunction because there are significant irregularities in how this went down. And for the Supreme Court to point out, because, I mean, overruling a judge's decision on a preliminary injunction, unsettling that case, tells you his decision was very, very bad.
No, no doubt. I mean, it, of course, Mr. Henry says everybody's playing politics. You begin to wonder, who's he talking about? Not the ones he's pointing fingers at, that's for sure.
Well, I mean, he's as much as we talk trash, he spends even more time talking about trash. I mean, honestly, from my perspective and from the majority of the council, the vast majority of the council, our goal is to be fiduciary agents who make sure money is not ill spent. The fact that the mayor and Mr. Henry with a straight face tried to give this guy $2 million more dollars for a fake emergency to do less work on trash pickup, and they say we're playing politics, there's no logical justification to pay someone $2 million extra to do less work. Full stop.
Yeah, no doubt. So what happens from here? So Ivy Waste, they stay in until the end of the year.
So the end of the year or until the other case is resolved. As you know, we have a hearing at the Fourth Circuit on August 5th regarding the Paulette Irons ruling, which, if you may recall, Mr. Henry filed a mandamus with Judge Irons, which she granted, which was a request to make the council vote on his contract. And the judge ruled, not only do we have to vote on the instrument, she ordered us to vote yes. And as you know, because you've done civics, courts can't make legislative bodies vote the way they want. That's kind of well outside of their jurisdiction. I mean, I would argue that a judge can't make a legislative body vote, period. But at the very least, if you're going to make us vote on an item, you can't dictate the outcome. That is a complete violation of the separation of powers in our Constitution, our charter, and our state constitution. So that's what's in front of the Fourth Circuit. I have no idea that's going to turn out because the Fourth Circuit's gotten it wrong from Wisner to the Troy Henry case to this. So I expect, regardless of the outcome at the Fourth Circuit, one of us is going to go to the Supreme Court again.
Yeah, I mean, and so that case is still in its infancy. A number of people are saying that case will probably continue on through next year. Correct?
That is quite possible because, remember, the Fourth Circuit, we encouraged Mr. Henry to join us and said, let's make this an expedited hearing. He didn't want it expedited, so it's being taken up as a normal case, which means the judges will hear argument on the 5th. They have a significant period of time they can choose to think about how they want to rule. Once they rule, both parties will have, I believe, 45 days to appeal. And then once we appeal, the Supreme Court has a period to consider whether or not they'll take up the appeal. So logistically speaking, you're probably right, unless some party decides to move the Supreme Court or Fourth Circuit moves quicker than we think. It is more than likely this case will take us through the end of this administration.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all going to be very interesting. Let us pivot real quick, JP, while I have you. What is going on with the administration relative to the creation of a city ID program? Has that been something brought before the council?
It was. It was brought before the council and supported by the council. It is simply a tertiary identifying document. It doesn't grant you any ability. You can't use it to vote. You can't use it to drive a car. It's really just there so that people can say they have an ID. I mean, it doesn't grant any special privileges, and it's not meant to replicate or be like a driver's license or any other form of identification that you could use to vote, go through TSA, or anything else.
So why do it? I mean, if it serves no purpose and you say it's tertiary, I'm not sure I understand what that means. I mean, you know, when I look at this, it would seem to me that the prioritization of the city, why would we waste our time doing that? I mean, we got so many other things that we're not getting. We're not getting bills out on time. We're not doing this on time. We got a lot of shit that we can't get done on time. Why would we take on the issuance of a ID?
Well, the purpose of the ID is really to allow people to access some of, particularly the homeless population or the immigrant population, to access some very limited civic services like going to the library, or also for people who are stopped by the police and the police ask for ID. If they don't have an ID, they can provide this as a form of ID. So, I mean, I hear what you're saying, and honestly, when it comes to should we do this versus the other things that are necessary, what I've been arguing for the longest time, that isn't a functional government, you should be able to walk and chew bubblegum. But when it comes to the administration, I can't really argue whether or not they can walk and chew bubblegum, if that makes sense. So, I mean, there are some...
Yeah, but I mean, it goes even deeper than that, because the mayor said that this is going to accommodate the LGBTQ+ population. They'll get to choose their preferred gender and name. So if we have conflicting identifications, how does that make that any easier for any regulatory body, any policing agency or otherwise? And if I identify as a dog or a cat, or if I'm black and I say I identify as white, or if I'm white and I say I identify as black, are they going to tell me no?
Well, I mean,
or are they going to put it on the card?
I would argue that if we did not exist in a state where definitions and social and efforts by the Louisiana legislature to impose their social norms on every single city was in effect. I mean, as you know, there's a huge conflict between the city and the state on a lot of social issues. If a person transitions from a man to a woman and they want to be a woman on their ID and they have transitioned to a woman in the state of Louisiana, they can't do that because we do everything based upon what your birth certificate says. So, I mean, there's always going to be a conflict between the values that we want to promote and make people feel comfortable in our city versus what the state decides to do. Now,
but how does that become a value proposition? I mean, are we saying that there are more than two genders?
This argument is going to a place that I think you and I are going to be in significant disagreement. I think if someone transitions...
Well, I get it, but
someone transitions from being a man to a woman and they choose to be recognized as a woman, first off, why the shit do we care? Why do we care? The fact the state gets to say, I tell you, if you have decided to change your gender, I'm going to tell you what it is. If giving that person a card that reflects who they want to be, that doesn't give them any additional rights, makes that person feel like they are welcome in the city, I'm all for that. It costs the state nothing. Now, if it causes a conflict with law enforcement and that becomes an actual thing, the city will have to address that. If we have a situation where people are using these documents to do fraudulent things or to commit crimes or anything else, we as a city will have to deal with that as an outcome. But I don't think the possibility of that is not a reason to try. I mean, like I said, sometimes you and I disagree. We are going to really disagree on this as far as like,
well, but I mean, but the thing is that they're saying that this is going to help them avail themselves of city services. Well, I mean, it could help them perpetuate a fraud. If one day you go by a male gender and the next day you go by a female gender. And, so if I identify as a dog or a cat,
steal books from the library, Newell, I get you, but like, think about what city services are accessible that you need an ID for. Like the things you're talking about, perpetuating fraud, that's the kind of stuff you would need a driver's license and a birth certificate and a social security card for. I mean, city services is, for the most part, with ID required, is like getting a library card. So if someone is going to change genders repeatedly to avoid paying their library fees, you're right. There might be a possibility. I mean, what I would say is, to take what the mayor's saying at face value as far as what these cards will be used for, I mean, we have the queen of exaggeration. What city services they're talking about are legitimate civil services that we have control over. And so, I mean, I hear you. If fraud becomes an issue and it's widespread, the council will have to revisit that because we always clean up messes. But based upon what we were told and what we agreed on in doing this ID, that's not really on the table.
But who asked for this? Somebody, y'all had constituents that actually asked for this?
We have a huge constituency, particularly people in the immigrant community who are terrified of interacting with law enforcement. Having some form of identification brought a sense of comfort in that when they're asked for ID, they can provide one.
That so how do they prove who,
were,
how do
were,
they prove who they,
from the LGBTQI plus community who said that they feel discriminated against because they transition or they have a different form of identity that the state will not recognize. Honestly, if the state would let people who are transitioned put their new gender on an ID, maybe we wouldn't have to have done this. But that's not an option.
But why should they? Why should they? All their legal documents have them listed as something else. Why should we allow another form of identification that runs contrary to what all other legal documents that are maintained by the state as well as the city?
There are plenty of other states throughout the union, Newell, that allow for people who transition to change their ID. Newell, we can have this circular argument forever. We're just not going to agree on it.
Well, I mean, like, I understand. I just don't understand.
Fundamentally,
I don't want to be like California.
What's that?
I don't think anybody here. I don't know if a lot of people want to be like California. You know, we can't be all things to all people. It runs contrary to what's in the best interest of governance and stability and control. I mean, I asked the question again, and I'm not trying to be funny. There are people that identify as an animal. Are we going to tell them no? And why? What is the interest of city to give an illegal immigrant an ID?
No. Name me one person that identifies as an animal. Give me a name. Give me a name of the person that identifies as an animal.
I read about them every day on the internet. I've seen videos of them that identify as an animal. They dress up as a cat. They dress up as a dog.
People, give me a name of the person who identifies as an animal.
I don't hang with those people. So
you
I don't have
on
a name.
The internet, you give me the article from a reputable source about a person who tried to go to the DMV and identified as an animal. You told me you have it. Give me the document.
No, I said there are people that identify as animals and have complained about not being able to. The next time I come across the article, you'll be the first one to get it.
Send it to me. Make sure you check it. It doesn't say the onion on top.
It's
a joke.
I know. I know exactly where to send it. It's the same thing. What is the city's interest in giving an illegal alien an ID?
the city's interest in that, someone who's living in the city who pays taxes into the city government, if they want a form of identification so they can feel like they are part of the New Orleans community, what's the harm in them having an ID? An ID has a name on it that only gives them the ability to access city services, like taking a library card. Like, they don't have access to Social Security, access to any state resources. It's something that the city has.
So what proof do they need to provide to get the city ID?
That is on the city website. There are a variety of different options, including some people provide passports.
Yeah, I saw passports, birth certificates, and driver's licenses.
Yeah.
And they need to provide that. They need to provide that as it relates to their gender as well, because they're not going to have that on there as it relates to their gender if they transitioned.
That is true. But if someone provides a birth certificate that says that my original name was this and I'm a person and I go by this name now and I'm this gender, then that would be, I imagine, because I'm not handling the ID program personally, but I would imagine that would be allowed.
So I could walk in tomorrow having done nothing in to advance, me being a woman, just say, I want to be a woman, and for purposes of this ID, I'll be a woman.
Sure, and you could go to the library and check out a book as a woman, Noel.
Yeah, or whatever. I mean, there are all kinds of grants that are offered by the city for all kinds of opportunities. I mean, it's not as simplistic as the library.
That's not as accessible through this ID card. I believe the things you can do is basic city services like the library, or you can go to businesses to get a discount. So if you also want to change your gender to a woman to get a discount at the coffee shop, Noel, that's also available to you.
All right. And there's a list of businesses that are posted that are giving discounts?
It is completely voluntary. As I understand it, businesses can choose that if they want to provide a discount through with the ID, they can. It's completely voluntary.
Well, you know, getting a water bill right might be a higher priority than engaging in this activity. And are we setting up a city department to do this? Who's issuing these IDs?
I believe it's being done through the city health department. But Newell, if someone having an ID makes them pay their water bill and their water bill gets paid, I don't care what gender's on it.
That wasn't my point. My point was getting the water bill out, not how it gets paid. We'll bring it to an end. You made your point. I made mine. This is one of those priority issues that is certainly mystifying to me. Trying to be the chameleon, all things to all people, it just never works out well. All righty, JP.
We'll agree and disagree, Noel.
Not a problem, my friend. Take care. Have a great weekend.
Talk to you later. Bye.
All right. We'll be right back. Stay with us. So a lot of interesting comments about the ID. You know, there are some things that just come up that just don't make a whole lot of sense to me. And we're going to engage in the exercise because a small group of people feel like they need to satisfy some need that they have or some recognition that they so desire so that they can put something on this ID card as if and though it's going to convince anybody of much of anything. And then we're really selling a pig in a poke if the services are limited to libraries and are extremely restricted, then really it's not about the services. It's about accommodating them as to their preference of their pronoun, their gender, or whatever it may be, contrary to science, contrary to social norms in this country. We seem to forget that laws are based on customs and norms. Right. And we want to just recklessly abandon that on so many different fronts. It doesn't really bother me how they identify as or otherwise. But the moment that we start modifying and government embracing these notions and setting up conflicts of laws, I know it's going to happen. the next legislative session, there's going to be a whole bunch of bills that are going to say city-issued IDs are not going to be able to be utilized, and they're going to set up the menu of things that they can't be utilized for. Just wait. We'll see.